Appreciate everything that's been done in the service for every song that's been sang, for every prayer that's been lifted up. We thank you for this, and continue to pray for me. If you have your Bibles, I would like to invite you to turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. I've got a few scriptures that I'm going to read, so I'll try to speed it up a little bit. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head withal thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he saith to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And with our mistakes, that's the reading of verses 36 through verse 50 of the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. This is a very accurate description of the love that God has for all people. And it's also a very accurate description of the forgiveness that can come to an individual when they love the Lord with all of their heart. I want to focus our thoughts on that verse. And Jesus looked at that woman and said, "Thy sins are forgiven." I'm thankful tonight that I've been saved. And I want to clarify something. When we say that we have been saved, and I understand and I know, but salvation is forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Yep. Now, the peace comes after the forgiveness. Paul said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
We're justified, and then we have peace. So I want to express my concern tonight to anybody here that is lost, that you are looking for the forgiveness of sin. We have become politically correct in the pulpit somewhat. And I want you to notice this. You don't hear many people refer to people as sinners anymore. They've tried to tone it down, sugarcoat it a little bit. But when you study the Bible, you find that that word is referred to quite often. And it's the same. Not only have we toned down the sinner part, we've actually toned down the sin part. And I think we're experiencing the results of all this in our world today. And in our churches today. People are not conscious of the fact that they are a sinner. And people are running around on this planet and they have no thought. They give no thought whatsoever that they're sinning in the sight of God. To them, it's not a sin, it's a way of life. And if we don't start preaching about sin, and if we don't start getting back to the book and do what it tells us to do, people are not going to know the difference. Now, God not only loved this woman, but I'm going to tell you, I think He loved Simon too. You see, Jesus loves. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Those people that are lost are the ones that are separated from God because of sin. This woman that came, she knew her condition. Simon, on the other hand, he didn't. And that parable that Jesus used of the two creditors, the two debtors, was a lesson for Simon. Simon had been raised and, I guess, educated to be a judgmental person. And they thought because they were scholars in the law, and they were, they knew the law front and back, they developed this self-righteousness. And anybody else outside of that was a little bit lower in their mind. Well, there are no, and I'll say this tonight, I want to clarify this very early. There are no big sinners and little sinners in the sight of God. Amen. We can classify it ever how we want to. But God doesn't. Over in the third chapter of the book of Romans, Paul was writing to a group of Jews, and again, they had this idea that they didn't need anything other than the law for their righteousness. But Paul came and he wanted to teach them. He loved them. And he wanted them to know the truth. And listen to what he said in chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul, in his ministry in another place, and it doesn't come to me, I know what he said, but I don't know exactly, I can find it for you if you need to know, but he said he kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Tonight, I hope that we don't keep anything back that can be profitable to you, but that we rightly divide the word of truth so that you will know how you stand with God tonight. We need to know that we are sinners in God's sight. There's no big sinners and there's no little sinners. We're all sinners in God's sight. The only difference between me and somebody that's lost is I am a sinner that has been saved by God's grace through faith. And you have. Yet, I want to be optimistic. You haven't. But you can be. You can be. But I want you to understand what that parable is saying. That we are all debtors. All of us. There's not one that is exempt from that debt that is owed to God. And as that parable points out, we have nothing to pay with. Nothing. You could take all of our righteousness. You could take all of our works. And you could put it in a bucket. And it wouldn't come close to satisfying that debt that we owe to God. The good news of the gospel is this. Everyone can be forgiven. Everyone. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, or how long you've been there. God's grace is big enough for you. Anybody that will come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ can find the forgiveness of their sin. Jesus paid that sin debt on the cross. He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. If there had been a human being that ever had, did, or will walk on this planet that could have satisfied that sin debt, he would have been the one that would have been sacrificed. Jesus Christ would not have come. But when God looked, there's nobody that could honor that sin debt. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him, Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist recognized him. He said, "He is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God," is his exact words. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Tonight, if anybody here and you're lost and you're still out in sin and you know that you're a sinner in the sight of God, I'm going to tell you something that's very easy for you to understand. If you are to find forgiveness, you're going to have to come to Him. You're going to have to come to Jesus Christ. And He promises us that he that cometh to me, Jesus said this, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I know that to be true tonight. There are people all over this building that knows that to be true. You know that He is faithful to His promises. People all through the Bible found out that God was faithful to His promises. But if you're here tonight, you need to go to Jesus. You need to look to Jesus Not to me, not to Brother Taylor, not to anybody else. You've got to look to Jesus. It matters not how many sins we are guilty of or not guilty of. Tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved and you're still in sin, you're condemned already tonight. You don't have to do anything. You're condemned already. And it's very important that you believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. When it comes to the sin issue, and this is true, we'll deny it, but it's true. It's very easy for us to compare ourselves to somebody else. We do it all the time. Let's be honest here. God already knows. We compare ourselves to other people. And that makes us feel pretty good sometimes. Sometimes it's a little embarrassing. But we look at people and we begin to do just exactly as Simon did. We begin to classify people. I'm glad God didn't do that. And that's been tried already. I want everybody, that has been tried and it's been tested and it failed. It did not work. Over in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, in a very familiar story, parable that we hear about. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There was a lot of people like that in that day and time. Jesus was confronted with that constantly. You know, there are still a lot of people that are in that same category, in that same attitude tonight. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in something that they have done. Let's go on. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He felt pretty good about himself, didn't he? I don't think God thought too highly of him. Do you? But there's another gentleman that's also there. This gentleman, he was in the same shape as that woman that fell at Jesus' feet. I want you to listen. He said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. He recognized his condition. The Pharisee didn't. There's a huge difference here. I hope that you can see that. But I want you to see the results of this. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said this. He said, I tell you, referring to the publican, he said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's true tonight. You can sit there and you can do, you can brag, you can boast, you can do whatever you want to. You can compare yourself to everybody. And you can say, and I've heard people, well, I'm just as good as that guy that goes to church. Well, you might be, you might not be. I heard Brother Walter Dewey say, the worst Christian is a whole lot better off than the best sinner. Man. Yeah. And that's true. Man. the worst Christian, the worst child of God that there is.
Right.
If his name is in the Lamb's book of life, he's a whole lot better off than the best sinner. That one that's standing in the church and he's empty on the inside, but on the outside he's really putting on a show. Doesn't mean anything. There's another example that's found in the 8th chapter of the book of John, and here again we are with the scribes and the Pharisees, and they brought this woman that had been taken in adultery. They brought her before Jesus. And the Bible, they're really ready to do something here. They wanted to make themselves look really good here. And they said, The Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They were ready to take this woman's life. Yes, she was a sinner. She had sinned. And they were ready to kill her for that. Tempting him that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a genius. He's the smartest person that I know of. He's a genius. He stooped down and with his finger he began to write on the ground. There's been a lot of speculation, and that's all it is, about what he wrote on the ground. Wouldn't you like to know? They continued asking him. He lifted up himself and he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." They were ready to kill her. And that would have made them look really good, wouldn't it? In their eyes, not in God's eyes. But Jesus got right to the point. He hit the nerve. "He that is among you, cast that first stone." Go ahead. And they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. Can't you see them dropping their heads and walking humbly? And Jesus lifted up himself, said to the woman, "Woman, where are thine accusers? No man condemned thee." She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You see, Jesus is ready to save. He is ready to forgive us of our sins. And we need to remember that. God's people need to remember that in the church today. It does not matter what walks through them doors back there. Where they've been, how bad they are. We are not the judge. And if it's a lost soul, we need to pray for them just as much as, and though it was one of our own children. I hope that if there's anyone here tonight, that you'll get concerned about where you stand with the Lord. I hope you'll realize that we're all in the same boat here. We all stand on the same ground tonight. We're all sinners. God is very concerned about this self-righteous attitude. There's a whole lot in the scriptures concerning this self-righteous attitude that people have developed. It's been around for a long time.
Amen.
I predict that it'll be around when the Lord comes back.
Right.
Because people are going about, as Paul said, trying to establish their own righteousness. And they are not willing to submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. They want to look good on the outside, but the inside is filthy. And that's all a lot of people are thinking about. It's all they're thinking about. You know, we're not in a competition to see who is the biggest sinner or the smallest sinner. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when you come up short, I want you to think about this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you come up that much too short or that much too short. The point is, you came up too short.
Amen. That's right.
And regardless of what you try to do and what you try to accomplish on your own, with your own righteousness, you're going to continue to come up short. God, He is a righteous judge. He is the one that is worthy to judge. Not me, not you. God is the righteous judge. And He has declared all people guilty.
Amen.
Guilty. Now, there are people that will deny that. They don't have a clue. But the apostle wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10 says that if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. God has said, you're guilty. But we're saying, no, I'm not. I don't need Jesus. I don't need anything. So you're actually calling God a liar when you deny the fact that you need to be forgiven of your sins by a man called Jesus. And you're treading on dangerous ground when you trod underfoot the Son of God. And I'm afraid that there are multitudes of people that are just doing that. They're walking, and never giving any thought about Jesus Christ. How dangerous. What needs to happen? And again, I go back. Some of this responsibility falls upon us. People need to be made to realize that they're sinners. They need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
They need to know that it ain't okay to just to go out here and live any which way you choose to live and spit on the Ten Commandments. And that's exactly what's happening in our society today. They have no thought about their sin. None. We need to start preaching it. We need to start standing up against it. And standing for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But until these people, these sinners, until they realize their sinfulness, they're not going to seek the Lord for the forgiveness of their sin. They're going to think it's just everybody else is doing it. Why not? You know, there are people in the world today, they have no conscience whatsoever about sin. They will take your life. Give it no second thought, but they will take your life for what you've got in your pocket. They will take anything you got. Why aren't we preaching Why aren't we preaching these things? We're afraid we're going to hurt some feelings, I think. We're afraid we might lose some occupancies. We need to start preaching about sin. And people need to be made aware of the awfulness of sin. And they need to be aware of the result of sin. And maybe they'll realize with the help and the work of the Holy Spirit that they're a sinner in the sight of God. You know, Jesus said in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 12, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Brother Taylor mentioned the other night about he had a round with a kidney stone. I've had about too many rounds with kidney stones. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly. I've been turned upside down. It's unbelievable. He's right. It's unbelievable. And you know, I have a urologist down at Summit Medical Center. He's there. I know exactly where he's at. I hope he don't move on me. But I don't just go down there and say, "Dr. Ezell, what's up, Doc? How you doing?" I don't just stop in there to see my urologist. There has to be a reason, and I know what the reason is when I go see him. Nobody has to tell me I'm sick. I know I'm sick. And I go. And hopefully he helps me. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're lost and out in sin, you're sick.
Amen.
And sin sick is the worst sickness that this world knows about.
Amen.
The worst. And I want to tell you about the great physician, the one that can help you. But you've got to realize that you need help. And you have got to admit that to yourself, that you are a sinner in need of God's grace. And as long as you deny that, you're not going to seek help. Or you may go through some little routine thing, but honey, you're not going to get reap down in a deep repentance toward God and a deep faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ until you realize that you are a sinner in the sight of God.
Amen.
And that you can't do anything to fix it but only Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the great physician. And you need to know that He is the one who is able to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You know, God revealed over there in the old book to the prophet Jeremiah. You can read over there and you find the gospel before the gospel is what I call it.
Yeah.
Jeremiah saw something. He said, "I will forgive your iniquity and I will remember your sin no more." He was referring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, when Jeremiah lived, they were under the old covenant. They had to take the blood of bulls and sheep and whatever and offer it as a sacrifice. And that would move their sins up a year. And they had to do that year after year. When Jesus came, He fulfilled all that. There's no longer a need of that. And I'll tell you something about the blood of those bulls and goats and whatever else it was they sacrificed. It never forgave the first sin.
Amen.
Not one. they did that, and they believed that. Now, I'm sure that there were a lot of them. It got to be a ritual. It got to be routine. It lost its significance. And they just kind of went through the motion, so to speak. But there were some, there was a remnant of people that God always protected and had His hand on and brought them through all kinds of crises in their life.
Amen.
Why? Because through them people, the promised Messiah, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would come and He would be the true sacrifice.
Amen.
He would go to the cross and He would shed His blood. He would give His life for all the world.
Amen.
All the world. And that's true tonight. And He is able to forgive sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I have no doubt. And all you got to do is talk to people. You just go up and you just start you up a good old conversation about the Bible. And you ask them about salvation. And you ask them, how do they stand? And you're going to hear very quickly what you're going to need to hear. They're going to tell you everything except I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You have to hunt. You have to really search to find people that believe that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most of them, when you go and talk about it, here's what I get all the time. I'm constantly wrestling with this one. Have you ever been saved by God's grace through faith? Well, that means something to me,
man.
That has a specific meaning. And they take it and they go, oh yeah, I was baptized back so and so. That ain't what I asked you. I didn't ask you about your baptism. I asked you about your salvation. And they don't know the difference.
Amen.
And there's multitudes of people out there that's walking around. And they're being led by the blind too. So what do you expect? Jesus said, the blind lead the blind. They're both going to fall in the ditch.
Amen.
You can't expect nothing differently. So when people come into our church, they may not look like us. They may not have on the clothes that we think they ought to have on. They may not even smell like we think they ought to smell. But that is not a factor.
Amen.
We need to pray for them. Treat them just like we would anybody else. You know why? Because they have a soul. And that soul is precious. It's precious. Jesus died for them just as much as He did for me. And I hope we don't ever get like those Pharisees. I hope we don't. You know, you've got to come with terms with your own sinfulness. And you can look at me and you can judge me and you say whatever you want to say about me. I've heard it before. But you need to come to terms with your own sinfulness. You see, because I'm not responsible for you and you are not responsible for me. Everybody is responsible for their self. You're going to have to answer for yourself. What did Paul say? Every one of us shall give an account of who? Himself. Himself.
Amen.
How is it with you tonight? Are you still in sin? You still
have not believed upon the Son of God. How is it?
You know, I could go on with this message, but Brother Mike is getting ready to ring his bell. I can tell. He messed with me a little bit tonight. He said, "I got your present." And I said, "What is it? I like presents." I went over and he had a little bell. I could go on and on. But I won't. I'll spare you. But I want to say this much. And this is something that's very, very precious to me. When I stand before God, I don't have to worry about what I did or what I didn't do. I don't have to worry about that. When He sees the blood, just like it was over there in Egypt that night, just exactly when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Amen. That's the only thing. That is the only thing that's going to allow me to enter into the gates of glory. Yep. Is when He sees the blood. I hope tonight that you trust with all your heart, in the Lord Jesus Christ and have that blood applied to your heart. It's very important that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. I hope you can find it. I hope you can come to terms with your sinfulness. And I hope that you can see that Jesus is the one that you need to approach and come in contact with. And He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. And He'll cleanse you. Again, I could go on and on. I won't. But He saves our soul. I understand that. This flesh, it's going to rot and it's going to return to the dust from which it came. But the soul's going to go to the Lord. And that's enough. You get the point. Brother Colin, if you would, let's have an invitation.